Penguin Random House Audio presents I Know What I Saw, Modern Day Encounters with Monsters of New Urban Legend and Ancient Lore by Linda S. Godfrey. Read for you by Gabra Zachman. This book is dedicated to Stephen Stanek, mystery cat hunter, investigator, and recorder extraordinaire, who has toiled quietly for decades on his quest, and whose generous participation made the Mystery Cats chapter possible. Introduction. Which came first, the legend or the beast? In cryptozoology, we are studying legends. Legends are the smoke above the fire. Lauren Coleman, cryptozoologist, 2018. In December 1991, I trudged for days around a frosty corner of southeast Wisconsin to interview people who claimed to have seen what they said looked like a fur-covered werewolf on a rural byway known as Bray Road, just outside of the small city of Elkhorn. And yes, they did say werewolf. And no, that did not send me running for silver bullets. Looking into topics of local interest was my job as a reporter for the county's weekly newspaper, The Week, based in Delavan, Wisconsin, so I was trying to keep an open mind. It wasn't easy. Area residents were saying they had seen what looked like a large wolf walking or running on its hind legs, eating chunks of road-killed animals held in its upturned paws, and generally acting in ways that normal eastern gray wolves were not known to act. Moreover, there hadn't been a known population of wolves breeding in and inhabiting southeastern Wisconsin for many decades. None of it seemed likely. As I listened to stories of encounter after encounter, however, told by what seemed to be sincere and sober citizens, my mind reached for possible explanations of impossible claims. Were eyewitnesses seeing an actual wolf gone bipedal for some odd reason? Most of the alternatives I could conjure up also seemed unlikely. I had heard folktales of other mammals, such as Maryland's goat man, that had supposedly become mutant monsters due to genetic experiments. Folktales and legends are generally not considered proof of anything, however. There was also speculation that the creature could be something ghostly, more akin to the spectral black hounds of the British Isles than to a Hollywood-style human with fangs and fur. I even had to consider the chance that there was no real creature, no true sightings, just a hoax perpetrated by unknown jokers, perhaps. After all, the long, cold winters of the Dairy State have been blamed for all sorts of odd behavior among its residents. Certain Wisconsinites have gained notoriety for activities ranging from the sublime to the shocking, from late-blooming, self-taught artists who spend long evenings by the fire creating visionary sculpture from rusty metal and concrete, to cannibalistic serial killers Ed Gein of Plainfield and Milwaukee's Jeffrey Dahmer. Admittedly, Gein and Dahmer were motivated by much more than ice and scant daylight, since psychological derangement figured prominently in each case. But the peculiar nature of their crimes was seriously weird, what I call bad weird as opposed to good weird, in the extreme. After listening to the Bray Road witnesses in person, however, I finally decided that no matter what the origin of the mystery creature sightings, the stories had already spread far enough locally to have reached campfire tale status. That meant the phenomenon I'd dubbed the Beast of Bray Road could be considered folklore in the making. I realized I'd been given a rare opportunity to observe and document the birth of a new legend, and I felt obliged to record whatever I found for future reference. Back in 1992, the likeliest scenario to my mind was that the upright creatures were just what they looked like, flesh-and-blood wolves or wolf-dog hybrids that were able to walk upright, and often did. The ability to walk on hind legs, or bipedalism, is not a supernatural act for animals, but it is unusual. When seen in the wild, bipedal locomotion usually indicates an injured forelimb. Given healthy limbs, and YouTube videos of dancing dogs aside, quadrupeds rarely live their lives in a vertical posture, since their skeletal frames are not designed to support their whole weight on their hind legs. And yet, many who witnessed the upright canine creatures thought there was also something otherworldly about them, some kind of knowing, uncanny intelligence in their glowing yellow eyes. As famed Bigfoot researcher and author Ivan Sanderson said in his book, Abominable Snowmen, Legend Come to Life, a lot of myths are straight history. A lot of history is pure myth. It seemed obvious to me in those early days that I'd have to look at many more reports to have any hope of understanding anything at all about the creatures and why they were being sighted. Luckily, the reports continued to roll in from all over the United States, Canada, and other places, even though I hadn't been actively soliciting them. And after 10 years or so, I began to publish them online and in my books. Alas, interesting as these reports were, I have found it is much easier to record encounters than to understand them. 26 years of chasing monsters later, it still comes down to this. Are these sightings simply a combination of mistaken species of known animals, truly undiscovered animals, hoaxes, and coincidence? Or are they somehow, perhaps through the power of myth and legends, intertwined with the human mind? Some researchers suspect these creatures spring from another reality, and that they use the human mind or spirit to project themselves into our world as perceivable beings. Many Native American beliefs hold the more specific view that Sasquatch, dogmen, and other such creatures use freshwater springs as portals between the spirit world and our own. According to the online Ho-Chunk Encyclopedia, the lakes surrounding Wisconsin's state capital, Madison, all serve the spirit world as trans-realm conduits. It states, to cite just one example, the old Winnebago Indian name for Lake Wingra was Kichunk Ochepera, meaning the place where the turtle comes up, and also, presumably, goes back down. When all speculation is said and done, however, there is still that question that fans, enthusiasts, and researchers of every stripe want answered. Are the creatures something we would consider real, or are they entirely otherworld? My suspicion these days is that they may be both, and that our reality operates on a scale from dense matter to realms the human eye cannot see. I'll do my best to keep seeking answers here, although nothing absolute is promised. There were and are countless other investigators and researchers diligently seeking the same truths about other cryptids, hidden or unknown animals, like Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster. Again, thanks largely to the internet and TV shows about mystery beasts, more and more creature hunters continually join the ranks. There is now a small army of cryptid enthusiasts combing the far corners of the globe for unknown beasts and searching for the truth in legend and lore. So why hasn't this small army yet proven these creatures exist? I don't believe it's entirely the fault of the investigators. Keep in mind that certain mysterious entities, such as, say, werewolves, refuse to be limited to any one definition, and the stories told about them morph more swiftly than can the most talented human shapeshifter. And just when it seems we have one old legend pinned down to help prove an origin, another version or a bothersome contradiction will pop up, and we have to start over or look elsewhere. As the editors of the very helpful book, Medieval Folklore, A Guide to Myths, Legends, Tales, Beliefs, and Customs, put it, in the 19th century, when the term folklore was coined, many people assumed that folklore, like a fossil, preserves a frozen image of the ancient past. To the contrary, through close observation, folklorists have noticed that folklore tends to be extraordinarily dynamic, extremely prone to change with changing times and environments. That means we are shooting almost blindly at two moving targets, the legends and the present creatures they describe. Knowing that these myths and legends change throughout time and location presents an extra, but not insurmountable challenge. Despite adaptations, the creatures remain largely recognizable through the centuries, probably because their stories are so often repeated. We hear tales of centaur sightings in 20th century Illinois, right across the river from St. Louis, and our imaginations conjure that same image so vivid in Greek mythology of a four-legged, equine body fronted with the torso, head, and arms of a man. Still, thanks to the wide dissemination of today's many styles of art and illustration, the centaur cited today may not look exactly like the man-horse described in days.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?